tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn.
Pretty Welcome, everyone. I'm so happy you've all tuned in to the Hope Show this week. I hope each of you have had a blessed week and that today's show finds each of you doing very well. As you probably know, I've been playing previous pods for the past few weeks, and my husband has so graciously filled in for me last week. Thank you, Shaziz, for keeping my show going for me while I took some time off to do some soul searching. I've been working on today's show for about 2 weeks now. I would get partway through the message, and I would just throw it away and start all over. My mind hasn't really been in the game, so to speak. I've been working through some issues with myself, and I got to the point that I just couldn't come up with the right words when my head was somewhere else. Dealing with different feelings, emotions, head and heart issues. I guess I've just kind of been in a slump for the last few weeks, and I felt like that I just didn't really have much to offer anyone, being in the state of mind that I was. And where I was at, every time I tried to put something together, I felt like I just wasn't qualified to say anything because I was so immersed in some real stinking thinking of my own. And I'm sure a lot of you have been there before and you know what I mean. I had to get my head and my heart right before I could come back on and present a good message to all of you. I am very sorry for the inconvenience or the disruption that I may have caused, but I am back today. I have my head on straight and my heart back where it should be. I want to thank all of you for your patience and for not giving up on me after so many weeks of playing previous pods and having my husband fill in for me. Today's message is about truth, God's truth. Over the past few weeks, I admit I lost sight of the truth, and so I found it impossible to do the message with any justice at all. Perhaps that was selfish of me, taking the time off to get right with myself and God again, but it was much needed. Everyone has their ups and downs in life. I'm sure everyone would agree with me on that. I'm not any different than any of you out there in my listening audience. I experience all the same temptations, trials, and tribulations. Each situation is unique to the life God has given each one of us. I'm guilty of my own fair share of stinking thinking. Anger, hurt, bad moods, impatience, etc. But through all of that, we must push forward, press on. Don't let it get the better of us and lead us to say things that one can never take back. The tongue is probably the most powerful organ of the body. It can lift us up or tear us down in the matter of time that it takes us to say just a few simple sentences. That's how quick and easy it is to bring forth good fruits into someone's life or crush their spirit and destroy them. When we face these situations, and they will surely arise in our life, sometimes quite unexpected, it's not what the situation is as so much as how we respond to those situations when they occur. We have two choices. We can look to God for guidance or try and take care of matters in our own fleshly human way. I'm sure you all can relate, but I made the wrong choice these past few weeks. I didn't respond in a godly way to my situation. Instead of asking myself, what would Jesus do? I took it upon myself to do what Beverly wanted to do. It didn't work out so well. I lost sight of the most important one that could have made it all better in an instant. God, the way, the truth, and the light. That was very foolish on my part, and wrong actions followed. Without truth, what do you have to anchor yourself to? What do you do when that happens? You pray. You meditate. You get back to God, whether you feel like doing that or not. You stay focused on God. We can only receive the truth if we spend time meditating on God's Word and writing the truth on the tablets of our heart. We can't take someone else's word for it. They might be wrong. They might be misguided themselves. It may not be an intentional act upon their part, but it can happen all the same. It's very important to build truth into our life. Truth is the basic foundation of life. Truth corresponds to the way things are. Anything else is a falsehood, folks, a misrepresentation of the truth. Truthfulness is a very strong character quality. Truth is part of our protection, though, as well. Without the truth, life can become distorted, and then wrong thinking, and then actions will follow, wrong actions will follow, and before you know it, you're having some stinking thinking going on. Without meditating on the Word of God daily and memorizing His truth, spending time to strengthen your relationship with God, how will you know when you're being led astray? From very early on in our life, growing up, we are molded by the information kit that we are fed. Depending on our childhood, life can get a little distorted. It's much, much harder when you're an adult to figure out what is truth and what is falsehood. As a child, we are supposed to learn right from wrong, truth from lies. But even as we are growing older into adulthood, we are being fed more information and we learn more about life from our own personal experiences. All through this process, we are combining the things that we learned as a child with the things that we have learned while growing up. That is what you become in the end, is the group of all of your life experiences from childhood to adulthood. That becomes what you are in the end. What happens if you weren't raised in a home where God was taught? That makes life a whole lot tougher. We still all know right from wrong, truth from lies, at least I would hope, but we truly don't know the whole story. We grow up not knowing the truth and the way, meaning God's truth. Would those of you who found God later in life not attest to the fact that life has been a little more difficult because you had to learn it on your own? I can relate to that. I wasn't introduced to the church until I was probably close to 18 years old. And, you know, there's been times that I've fell away and came back and fell away and came back. And I can guarantee you, from my own personal experience, that if I had been raised in a home where God was taught right from the very beginning, I probably would not have made as many mistakes in my life as I did. But of course, we are really never alone or on our own. But you know what I'm trying to say, you know. I mean, even believer or non-believer, whatever the case may be for you, we're never alone. Even when we might feel like we are sometimes, God never leaves our side. What you learn early on, though, in life will make up your virtues, your character, and your morals for what you will later become when you grow up. It is good for us to actively take the effort and find the energy to question what the truth is, so that we won't be so easily misguided. What will we do with our information? Will we accept the spoon-fed facts of other people, the things that everyone knows is true, or the things that will be taken for granted, taking the easy way out instead of choosing to take the narrow road that leads to truth? In the Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who will find it." So there are moments in our life when we want to believe something so bad that we suddenly see all the arguments that are for that to justify what it is that we want to believe. And yet, when that happens, we become blind to all the arguments that are against doing it. That we, the little voice in the back of our head that says, better think again. We are all guilty of doing this at some time in our life. But this is how our perception becomes so skewed and our thoughts become so complacent. It's hard work keeping on your toes, keeping vigil over our mouth, our head, our heart, our body, and soul. But as I said earlier, truth is for our protection. If we are not mindful of what information we take in as truth, no one else will be mindful of that for us. And before you know it, we will fall for anything. And in these times, in this day and age, with so much going on in our lives right now and in the world, we have to be mindful of what's going on around us, more so than ever, or we will surely fall for anything. It's so easy to become someone else's prey. If someone stinks with the smell of wrongfulness, it would pay us to take heed of our gut instinct and steer clear of the matter. And folks, don't second-guess yourself. We learned this back in high school when we're taking tests. Don't second-guess yourself, because you're usually your first gut instinct is correct. Building truth in ourselves provides strength and courage. And with God on our side, all things are possible. Through He that strengthens us, find your refuge in knowing the truth, the Word of God. There will always be people who will not like you for speaking the truth. The people that matter will love you no matter what. God is the most important one that matters, though, and what He thinks. Remember, for those that try to persecute you in the name of the truth, that is their issue, not yours. In Proverbs 3:3 it states, "Never let go of loyalty and faithfulness. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Choose to always practice truth, folks. Please. Despite any of the rejection that you might encounter from other folks, let the Father deal with His misguided children in His own perfect timing. That is not your issue. That is not your battle. It is better to be known and respected for your honesty than to be known and disrespected as being a person who tells falsehoods. Ask God to give you that increasing desire for truth and to help you identify areas in your life that are truth, but yet there's a weakness in that part of your life. Fill your mind with the Word of God and purpose in your heart to be trustworthy, reliable, and believable. These qualities will build your reputation for being a person with integrity, and this will be the legacy that you will eventually leave behind when you pass from this earth. You will leave behind a legacy for your children that will be passed down through them too, hopefully. They can remember you fondly and proudly, knowing that their parent was a person of integrity and he loved the Lord with all his heart and all their body and soul. In Ephesians 4:17 through 25, the Bible tells us, "In the Lord's name, then, I warn you, do not continue to live like the heathen, whose thoughts are worthless and whose minds are in the dark. They have no part in the life that God gives, for they are completely ignorant and stubborn. They have lost all feeling of shame. They give themselves over to vice and do all sorts of indecent things without restraint." That was not what you learned from Christ. Get rid of the old self, which made you live as you used to. The old self that was being destroyed by its deceitful desires. Your hearts and minds must be made completely new. and you must put on the new self, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life that is upright and holy. It mustn't stop with us. We must go out and share the good news, the truth. Be disciples and mentors to those who don't know. We are all members bound together in the body of Christ. Fellow brothers and sisters, hold on to this truth. Hold on to this truth. Write it on the tablet of your heart. The Bible is very clear about being truthful and not speaking falsely. Clearly in Luke 16:10 it states, "If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large things. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibility." If you are not honest, giving, responsible, faithful, and true with what you have currently, God isn't going to give you more responsibility or greater blessings. Think about that. As a child, or even if you're a parent now and you have children of your own, you know, blessings for children or rewards or going places and doing things, that those things are granted to them as a reward for good behavior. And it's the same thing with our Heavenly Father, you know. Blessings are rewarded with good deeds, you know, good works, good behavior, obedience. And, you know, just like a parent with a child, you're not going to continue to give your children something that they don't deserve. If they're acting out or being bad, you're not going to give them more until they straighten up their act. We have to learn by honoring God in all that we do and giving Him the glory for all things in our life. We have to earn things. We can do nothing without God. Here's a little joke I want to throw in here that I heard recently. But if you think about it, it's really true. Do you want to know how to make God laugh? Tell Him what your plans are. You know, if you think about it, isn't that kind of funny? Because we can't do anything without God. But yet, so many times, we think we have these great plans, and we think we've done it all by ourselves and things, and no, we haven't. God has granted us those things. We didn't do anything. So if you want to make God laugh, tell Him what your plans are. Folks, like I said, we can do nothing without God. So we must give credit where it is due. Give God all the praise and the glory for all of your blessings. Winston Churchill is quoted as saying, I just lost my train of thought, folks. Anyway, if you don't believe what I've just said, you know, it's true. About telling truth and things like that, you know. If you don't believe that I'm telling what I'm saying about things being true, gather a group of people around in a circle and whisper something in the ear of the first person and ask them to repeat what they heard to the next person in line until the message gets passed on to each person around the circle, until it gets back to the first person. Ask the last person to tell the group out loud what the message was that they received. Most of the time, the message is so distorted from the original truth that you barely recognize any of the true context. And this is how rumors and falsehoods get started. Reputations get ruined, and people get angry with or hurt by each other for no apparent reason, because they didn't hear the truth. Mark Twain states it best, "If you tell the truth, then you don't have anything to remember." My husband says that all the time. He said, I can't keep up with lies. I wouldn't be a good liar because I can't remember everything that I said to cover up one lie to the next. And so Mark Twain says, "If you tell the truth, then you don't have to remember anything." For some people, telling lies becomes a natural way of life. Some people think that they can get by with it by using cover-ups or pretty little decorations. But eventually, folks, someone is going to mess up. And the truth always comes out eventually. Eventually, falsehoods come back to bite you with vengeance. And remember, everything is always in God's perfect timing. Everything is always in God's perfect timing, folks. It's not about us. It's not our timing. And untruth can cost you severely. Untruth can cost you a job, a relationship, a promotion, a friendship, a reputation, and yes, even your very soul. Your salvation, your eternal spot in heaven. Folks, do you really want to take such a chance with your life? Would admitting you're wrong instead of trying to cover up your own behind be so important that it would, in the end, cost you your very soul? I found a quote from Marilyn Monroe that I think speaks volumes about her character. The one thing that stands out to me as I read her quote is that she seems to be so honest about her own shortcomings and willing to admit that, even if it meant rejection. And she was a very, very popular person in the day, and she still is. But she was, it seemed as if in this quote she was very honest. I admire people for their honesty. How many of you would follow her example? She said, "I'm selfish, impatient, and a little insecure. I make mistakes, I'm out of control at times, and I'm oftentimes hard to handle. But if you can't handle me at my worst, then you don't deserve me at my best." Folks, if you were to make up a quote about yourself, being completely honest about admitting your own flaws, what would your quote sound like? What would it say about you? I have given this some thought, and I think my own would sound like this. "I'm sometimes opinionated, impatient, and a little high-strung. I make mistakes. I get my feelings hurt. I'm guilty of being a little selfish, though I try very hard not to be. I wrestle with my own pride some days. I get angry some days. I get down some days. Even though I don't mean to, sometimes I judge others. Some days I can be a real complainer. Some days I get so busy I don't spend enough time with God. I can be hard to deal with sometimes, but if you get to know me, I'm very honest, loyal, compassionate, empathetic, giving, soft-hearted person mingled with a little quirky, funny, and dingy." LOL. Laughing out loud there. That is what my quote would say about me. What would your quote say about you if you were to be honest about yourself? Later on, when you get time, maybe you could try to make up your own quote and see what you can come up with about yourself. And it's actually kind of fun. It's kind of enlightening. You might be surprised with what you come up with. I'm going to go ahead and take a short break here and play you a few songs, and when we get back, I'll continue with the message.
Showing that I'm God.
draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. At the cross, you beckon me.
Come to it.
Welcome back, listeners. I hope you all enjoyed the music that was playing during the break. Thank you for tuning in to the Hope Show this Saturday. It's an honor to have you with me today. Today's message is about truth, God's truth. I want to take a moment to recap what the first part of the message has been about so far, so that if any of you are just now tuning in, then I can kind of catch you up to speed a little bit. Our Heavenly Father is the light, the way, and the truth. The tongue is probably the most powerful organ of the body. It can lift us up or tear us down in the matter of time that it takes each of us just to say a few sentences. That's how quick and how easy it is to bring forth good fruits into someone's life or to crush their spirit and destroy them. We can only receive the truth if we spend time meditating on God's Word and writing the truth on the tablets of our heart. We can't take someone else's word for it. They might be wrong. They might be misguided. Truth is the basic foundation of life. Truth corresponds to the ways that things actually are. And anything else is a falsehood, a misrepresentation of the truth. Truthfulness is a very strong character quality. Truth is a part of our protection as well. Without the truth, life can become so distorted, and then wrong thinking and wrong actions follow. Without truth, what do you have to anchor yourself to? Without meditating on the Word of God daily and memorizing His truth, spending time to strengthen your relationship with God, how will you know if you are being led astray? I'm not going to spend any more time recapping right now, but this is what the message has been about up to this point. A few hours after the show has aired, you can go back and you can listen to the entire podcast if you'd like to listen at your own convenience. This can be found on www.shazizradio.com by scrolling through the host until you find Hope by Beverly, and then simply by just clicking on today's date, July 12, 2014. And then today's message will be right at your fingertips. I adopted a verse for my life this past January. It's in Isaiah 43:19. And it reads like this. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there. I want to share a few things with you from my previous shows, but they're still very noteworthy. If God controls you on the inside, you will be genuine on the outside. This is truth. God knows every single one of us, and He knows us by our name. We are written in His book. This is truth. God knows each winding way we will take and every sorrow, pain, and ache. His children He will not forsake. He knows and loves His own. No one is anonymous to God. This is truth. For most of us, there usually comes a time of crisis before a lot of us are willing to change. And I know that has been the case for me, sadly enough. We all have battles in our own life that we must face. Some of those battles are physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. And sometimes it's a combination of more than one at the same time, or perhaps even all of them at the same time. Any battle must be fought with the very weapon that is hardest to wield at the time. And I was talking about that a little bit earlier on in my show. Prayer, meditation, self-examination, and repentance. Sometimes when we're in the middle of our own battle or our own crisis, the last thing we want to do is feel like praying or meditating or examining ourselves or even admitting that we have flaws or that we've made mistakes. But it's that very weapon that's so hard to wield. That's what we must use. That's the weapon against the devil. These things I tell you are truth. Fellow brothers and sisters, we are living in stumbled days where people have turned away from the truth and started worshiping false idols. Idols can be anything that you put before God. Materialistic things, money, false teachers, the list goes on and on. But stability and consistency is our great witness. We should be the same at all times, whether we're at church, in public, or even at home where you think nobody can see you. But God sees you. Even in your private moments, God sees you. We are where we are every day on purpose. We are right where God wants us to be at this very moment, folks. Rejoice in that. We're right where we're supposed to be. It may not be a place that we like, but rejoice in the fact that this is all a part of God's plan. And something better is coming our way. We must live ready lives and be bold and courageous to the Word of God. Spread the truth of the gospel all over the world. Then others, too, can know the truth. The truth isn't meant to be kept to ourselves. It's meant to be shared with all of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you ever wondered what ministry that you should be in? The most important ministry that we should all be a part of is the ministry of reconciliation and spreading the truth to one another. Reconciling our fellow brothers and sisters to our Heavenly Father and spreading the truth to one another. Let me read a few verses for you that back up what I just said. In Hebrews 12, 1-3, the Bible tells us, "As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end." He did not give up because of the cross, but on the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him. He thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and he is now seated at the right side of God's throne. Think of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. And so do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up. Reading a few more verses between 15 and 22 in Colossians 1, the Lord states, "Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He is the firstborn son, superior to all created things. For through him, God created everything in heaven and on earth, the seen and the unseen things. Christ existed before all other things, and in union with him, all things have their proper place. Through his Son, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself." Wow, let me repeat that. Through his Son, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. That's the reconciliation, folks. That's the reconciliation with man and God through his Son. God made peace through his Son's blood on the cross. At one time, you were far away from God and were his enemies because of the evil things that we did and that we thought. But now, by means of the physical death of his Son, Jesus Christ, God has made you his friend in order to bring you holy, pure, and faultless into his presence. Ah, as I read these passages, isn't it incredibly amazing that our Heavenly Father wants to be our friend? Not only our Father, our Healer, our Savior, our great comfort, and so many more things, but also He wants to be our friend. It's almost too much to comprehend. It's almost beyond our understanding that God, in all of His awesomeness, in all of His greatness, that He wants to be our friend. Can you believe that? But wait, here's another truth. It is written in 1 Corinthians 13. This is better known as the love chapter in the Bible. Listen to me carefully. I may be able to speak the language of human beings and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all the knowledge and understand all the secrets. I may have faith needed to move mountains. But if I don't have love, I am nothing. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. All things will pass away, but love is eternal. When I was a child, my speech, my feelings, and thinking were all those of a child. And now I am an adult. I have no more use for childish ways. What we see now is a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete. As complete as God's knowledge of me. Think about that for a moment. As complete as God's knowledge of me. God knows me better than I know myself, folks. God knows what I'm going to do before I even do it. God knows I'm going to fall, when I'm going to make stupid mistakes, or say something that I shouldn't say. God knows me better than I know myself. The things that we know now are only partial. Eventually it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Fellow brothers and sisters, we need to clean up our lives before it's too late. It's difficult to listen to God when we are too busy to spend time in the Lord's presence each day. But God is love, and the absence of God is merely flesh. When we live in the flesh of the world, that is when we run into a whole bunch of problems. And then we start to travel down the wrong road. In Galatians, we are reminded that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says that against these things, there is no law. Think for a moment. Are we living in the truth? Are we living with the 9 fruits of the Spirit? Are we being good stewards, disciples, mentors? Does our actions and what we speak show a God-like love for other people? Do our actions and our words match? Are we bearing the 9 good fruits listed above? Are we on the right path? Or are we letting our pride, our arrogance, our hurt feelings, our resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, revenge? Are we letting all those things run through our veins and permeate our entire being? Are you living in the flesh, slowly being poisoned, or are you living the righteous life that God has meant for each one of us? Go ahead. Ask yourself these questions and dare to be completely honest with yourself. Probably most of us will agree that we are a work in progress and that we each still have a long ways to go. But hopefully all of you out there in my listening audience are willing to do the work necessary to keep getting better and better. More of God and less of us. I always say that. I always repeat that to myself. More of God, less of me. Humble yourself, folks. I'm going to go ahead and take another short break and play you a few songs. So go ahead and get yourself that cup of coffee or tea or use a little boys and girls room, whatever it is, and I'll be right back.
Climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me, time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory.
Truth tells me a different story.
free. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe, 'cause Jesus, you are the voice of truth. And I will listen to you. We'll be right back.
welcome back, listeners. I hope all of you are enjoying the music on today's show, and thank you all for tuning in to The Hope Show. It's an honor to have you with me today. Each and every Saturday, it's an honor to have all of you with me. Today's message is about truth, God's truth. If you've missed any part of today's message, then once we've had the opportunity to upload the pod to the podcast page here in the next few hours, you can find that on www.shazizradio.com. You can link on to that and listen to the entire show at your own convenience. I hope you're being fed by today's message and that something I've said has whispered something truth in your to your heart. Did you know that facing the truth and meditating on the truth brings a happier life? No one can be set free from the problem areas in our lives without the truth and the knowledge. But first, people have to admit that they have a problem and that they don't know it all. They must be willing to learn. People who have addictions, and a whole lot of other people out there who have somehow managed to lose control of their lives, are going to be doomed to suffer until they are ready to admit that they need help. Sometimes we bring on our own problems by being disobedient to God's word. Sometimes things are just outside of God's will for us. Yet whatever the situation is, we have no excuse for allowing the problem to persist, to grow, and even take control of our life. Past experiences may have made us the way we are, but we don't have to stay that way. That's a choice we make. We can take the initiative by taking some positive steps toward change, and we can ask God for His help. Whatever the problem is that we're faced with, we must face the truth and assume some responsibility, some personal responsibility for what's going on. The Bible tells us that we must evaluate ourselves, and that's a tough one. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it's hard for me to evaluate myself truthfully. And when I do evaluate myself truthfully, sometimes it's like, ouch, okay, that's a real problem area. I need to work on that. Romans 12:18 says, "Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone." An important lesson that I have learned is that I must bend so that I don't break. I must bend so that I don't break. What does that mean? It means that we must adjust ourselves to people and things, etc. It means that we must have the willingness in some areas to be a little flexible. Not in the really important stuff. I'm not talking about that. And if possible, as far as it depends upon us, live at peace with everyone. Before I made the Word of God a priority in my own life and decided to follow Him in obedience, I always thought I had to have my own way. I was so impatient. I was so quick to anger. I wasn't adaptable at all. I was under the assumption that all people needed to adapt to me. Of course, as you might have already guessed, that caused a lot of strife and a lot of stress in my life. And maybe you have had that same problem in your life, in your past, and you can understand and you can relate to the kind of strife and stress that creates in your life and in the life of others around you that have to deal with you on a daily basis. But as time has gone by, and I've gotten older, and hopefully a little wiser, I have learned how to bend. It's not always easy on the flesh to give in and do things differently than I had originally planned. But I can guarantee you that it's easier than being miserable and upset all the time. If you want peace in your life, folks, then you must learn to bend and be willing to be a little more flexible. Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You all know that Satan tempts us to sin while God prompts us to do good. While God is prompting us to do good things, Satan tries to attack our mind, causing us to reason our way out of doing good works. How many of you had that experience? You're being prompted to do something good, and God sneaks in there and says, "Oh, but wait, wouldn't you rather be doing this? That don't sound like much fun. How about let's go do this instead?" And before you know it, you're off on the wrong path. It seems that many of us are better at resisting the temptation to do good than we are at resisting the temptation to do wrong. We must stay alert, brothers and sisters. We must watch out for our great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And boy, I sure believe in the last few weeks to a month, he has really been trying to devour me. Don't let that be you. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Always remember, when you think you are all alone in your situation, that your family of believers from all over the world, some you know and some you've never even met, they are all going through the same kind of suffering as you are, perhaps a different situation, but similar to suffering. We are not alone. Everyone has their trials and tribulations. We all suffer at some level. Peter tells us that we must stay well balanced and temperate, withstanding the devil right at the onset. How true that is. Because if you let the devil have a foothold, he's going to run with it. There comes a time in your life that you have to make a choice. You must decide if you want the pain that will take you away from the realm of glory, or you decide that you want to keep your same old pain and try to hide the fact that it's rotting your very insides with negativity and stinking thinking and bad fruits of the Spirit. I believe Mark 8, 36 and 37 says it probably the best of all. "And what do you have to benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? Is anything worth more than our soul?" I want you to remember what I'm about to say. Don't let pride be your guide. Don't let pride be your guide. Think about that for a moment. Every conflict that you go through has a certain element of pride mixed into it. Think of this for a moment. What is the middle letter of the word pride? It's I. What is the middle letter of crime? It is I. What is the middle letter of sin? It is I. In today's world, we seem to have a big I problem. It goes kind of like this. I want what I want, and I want it now. I want what I want, and I want it now. Folks, this causes all kinds of problems, don't you agree? In every conflict, don't let your pride be your guide, because pride is the very root of all sin. The Bible in Philippians 2:3 says, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourself. And yet another problem that we seem to face in this world is that we live in a world, an ADD world. It seems like everybody's got attention deficit disorder. And I say this because our technology and tools have left us perpetually distracted. And we no longer pay attention to the people around us. I want to use my husband and I as an example. My husband and I were just talking about this a few weeks ago. We are just as guilty as the next person. And so, for that, I'm going to use us as an example. And I'm sure there will be many of you out there that can relate to our own situation. During the evenings when we're supposed to be sharing quality time with one another, evenings that have always been our time to sit down and talk or cuddle up to each other and watch television for a few hours before bedtime, it's our time to unwind from our day and re-energize our relationship and talk about what's been going on in our world today. We have found ourselves getting caught up with our separate pieces of electronics, and an hour may go by while we're still sitting on the couch, but I'm on my cell phone scrolling Facebook or texting friends or my daughter while he is on his iPod scrolling YouTube. Together, but not together. We are together physically, but perhaps not mentally. Before I had this full data package for the internet on my cell phone, and before my husband got his iPod, evenings were very much different for us. We are trying to do better. We recognize this issue, and we're trying to set limits for ourselves and get back to spending real quality time with each other. But folks, this is a very hard habit to break, but it's not impossible. It seems like just about everywhere you go these days, people have their heads down. They're engrossed in a video, a word game, cell phones, iPods, and with their earbuds in their ears listening, they can't even hear people. Earbuds keep us from hearing the people around us. How many times have you been somewhere with family or friends and you were more concerned, or maybe the people that were with you were more concerned about their friends that they're texting on their phone or their friends on Facebook or Twitter? If you want a happier relationship, folks, you have to learn the art of paying attention and setting down those electronics for a moment, setting limits and boundaries for yourselves, and perhaps, you know, as I was talking about earlier, my husband and I's example, setting boundaries for our relationship that at a certain time there's going to be no electronics. It's just about him and I. And the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:4, do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. This doesn't come naturally, though, does it, folks? But the greatest gift that you can give someone is your time and attention. Because your attention is your time, and your time is your life. You will never get that back. And so when you give it to someone else, it is so precious, because you're sharing that piece of time with someone else that you will never get back. You're never going to get that back. It's so precious to give it to someone else. Give it away. Learning the lost art of paying attention to someone is an act of love. See, there is that word love coming back around full circle for us. God and love. Are you getting that picture in your head? God and love. Full circle. Once you totally get it, get the concept, it will transform your relationships and help you live happier lives. I'm telling you, this is more of the truth. You know, I have learned so many things since I found the Lord. One of the many things is this. Happiness always comes from harmony and humility. If you want to be a humble person, then before you do anything, ask yourself this question. What would Jesus do? In any and all situations, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? If you ask yourself this question and you truly know Jesus, you'll always come up with a humble answer that will build harmony and happiness instead of difficulty, defeat, bitterness, and resentment. What are some of the ways it means to act like Jesus. Let me give you some examples. Don't demand what you think you deserve. Don't demand what you think you deserve. Yes, you may have rights, but there are better ways to get your need met than by demanding your right. You can be tender without surrender, and you can be understanding without demanding. Another example is this. Look for ways to serve. If you want to be like Jesus, it is mandatory that you find ways to serve. And yet another example. Do what's right, even when it's painful. Do what's right, even when it's painful. Remember what Jesus did? He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross for our sins. Jesus is the ultimate model of humility. Just remember this. Whatever you're going to face this coming week or in the weeks and years and months, beyond that, you're not going to be facing this alone. God is with you. He is in you, and He is for you. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. God is working in you. He energizes you every day if you allow it. You are not just going on pure willpower by yourself. You're not going on your own power. God says He will give you the power that you need no matter what you're facing. But not only all of this, but God is also with you. In the Bible, God promises that I will never leave you as orphans. I will come to you. On that day, you will realize that I am in you and you are in me. That's quite a promise, folks. But wait, there is more. God says He is for us. If God is for us, then no one can defeat us. When the shepherd leads the sheep, there are always guard dogs at the back, nipping at the sheep to keep them moving in the right direction. And therefore, the Bible also tells us that the guard dogs in our own lives are goodness and mercy. God gives you the things that you do not deserve. That is His goodness. But sometimes He doesn't give you the things you deserve, and that is His mercy. Not because he's trying to be mean or whatever, but sometimes He doesn't give you the things that you deserve. And there's always a reason. It's always within His plan. There will be something better down the road. You just have to have the faith that whatever that was at the time wasn't meant for that time. Do you ever feel the smile of God in your life? If you don't, then you don't really know God. Because if you knew God, you would feel His smile upon your life. Some people think of God as an angry parent, always mad at them and making things bad happen to them. But God isn't like that at all. God is for you. Isn't that great news? There is another very important thing that must be said. More of the truth. Having a clean conscience also means having a happy life. One of the quickest ways to lose happiness is by feeling guilty or ashamed over some matter. You must get rid of all those feelings to maintain a clear conscience if you want to remain happy. You can't be happy and guilty or ashamed at the same time. It's going to be either the one or the other. The Bible tells us to live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Everyone wants happiness, joy, and relief from the pains in their life. But the Bible tells us that it comes from purity, purity of heart, and purity comes from forgiveness of self and others. And also forgiveness comes through God's grace. Folks, the best advice that I can give you for doing so is this. At the beginning and at the end of every day, do a spiritual inventory on yourself. This is when you will find the time to talk to God about everything that is standing between you and Him. And you will deal with the junk from your day during this time. Practice what is called spiritual breathing. You breathe out your sins in confession, and you breathe in God's power and cleansing. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those who record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete truth and honesty. God promises many wonderful benefits in our lives if we will meditate on His Word and His truth, and then do it. There are 6 ways that you can grasp on to God's Word, His truth. You can hear it, read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, and you can apply it. I challenge each of you this very week to start implementing these 6 ways into your routine every day. Folks, we all have emotions. We all have days when Satan tries and tempts us and wins over. Those days are here to stay. But I believe that one of the main goals every believer should be is emotionally stable. We should earnestly seek God to learn how to manage our emotions and not allow them to manage us. God wants each of us to make decisions that are based on truth and love and peace. Sometimes letting His peace rule you often means that you have to wait a while until your emotions settle down. And then, by checking to see if you really believe it's the right thing to do, whatever decision it is that you're faced with. But don't let your emotions rule your peace. Always go with peace. Your life will be so much happier, so much less stress-free. You will have an attitude of gratitude, and your life will be filled with joy and blessings. Choose peace over emotion. I want to say a prayer right now for all of you. Please bow your heads and say this prayer with me right now. Lord, I choose to let your peace rule in my heart. I don't want to make decisions based on my emotions, but I want to calmly and peacefully choose the paths that you want me to take. Amen. I hope all of you repeated that prayer with me. God's Word is good medicine to our heart and soul. But if we don't take His medicine, how can we be healed? God's Word is a healing agent, just as a natural medicine. Inherent with God's Word is the capacity, the energy, the ability, and the nature to affect healing in our body. So how do we take this medicine? Do we take it every day? Is it only as God's Word gets into the midst of our heart and stays there that it produces healing in our body? Head knowledge alone won't do it, brothers and sisters. The Scriptures have to penetrate our spirit through meditation. Once the word and the truth have really penetrated our heart through daily meditation, it will surely bring health to all our body. I challenge you to begin today. Let the Word and the truth of God penetrate deep into your heart today and every day. Make that choice today and every day that you're going to spend time in God's Word, in God's presence, having a relationship with Him, being His friend, putting your cares at His feet, praying, and believing, and having faith that God has got this. He's got your life. He is in control, and you are not going to fall. Fellow brothers and sisters, we are all a work in progress, including me. God is not finished with us yet. Sometimes we may think He's finished with us. We may think we've peaked in our knowledge of Him. We may think He has given up on us or given someone else the job of perfecting us. Perhaps we haven't heard Him for a while and we wonder if He has forsaken us. If this is the way you think, then think again. God began doing a work in us, and I am sure He will continue it until it is finished, when Jesus Christ comes again. In fact, God has promised us that He will never leave nor forsake us. He is always with us, even when we think He has abandoned us. Do you see what God is doing in your life? He has been and is still doing a great work in you. Did you hear me say when He will be finished with us? When Jesus Christ comes again? He isn't finished with us yet, folks. I have a message for you. Hear me now. This is a message for you from our Father. Keep your eyes on me. This is talking about our Father. Our Father is saying this to you. Keep your eyes on me. Waves of adversity are washing over you, and you feel tempted to give up. As your circumstances consume more and more of your attention, you are losing sight of me. Yet I am with you always, holding you by your right hand. I am fully aware of your situation, and I will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. Your gravest danger is worrying about tomorrow. If you try to carry tomorrow's burdens today, you will stagger under the load, and you will eventually fall flat. You must discipline yourself to live within the boundaries of today. It is in the present moment that I will walk ever so close to you, helping you carry your burdens. Keep your focus on my presence in the present. Thank you, Father, for that message. I know someone must have needed to hear that today. Folks, it is such an honor for me to be here with you today, doing this show, carrying God's Word, God's worth of truth. Folks, we have to stay focused on God and His truth. Sometimes we tend to wander off or to withdraw. It's during these times that we most need to dig our heels in deeper, persist, meditate on God's Word, and be in prayer so that we don't lose sight of the most important thing, our Heavenly Father, and what He is working out for us, His plan for our life. Sometimes we don't see what He's doing. Sometimes we think He isn't doing anything at all. Perhaps we think that He has forsaken us in our very hour of need. But that is not true. Even during those times, do you remember the footprints poem? During those times when you only see one set of footprints, you think God is not there, that He has forsaken us. But what has really happened is those are God's footprints. He has carried us through the storm. God is still with us. He promises never to abandon us, and He doesn't. He is always there for us. There are reasons beyond our comprehension for the order in which things turn out in our lives. But we have to have faith that even when we can't see God at work, that He hears our prayers and answers them. We have to believe with all of our heart, and it shall be done. And then we must wait. Waiting is sometimes the hardest part, especially if you're like me. Sometimes I want that instant gratification. I'm guilty sometimes of wanting what I want when I want it, and I don't like the waiting part. But then I'm reminded that it's not all about me. God knows better what I need. The chain of events that will lead up to me getting those needs met, and though it may not be in my timing, it is in God's perfect timing. How many of you have wanted something and you didn't get it quite the way you asked for it, but it turned out much better than you'd even asked for? How many times have you wanted your needs met right now, but you had to wait? Perhaps you didn't get your needs met on your timing. But in God's timing, your needs were met. I know that has been my case on many occasions throughout my life. We need to have an attitude of gratitude for all things God has given us. And we need to spread the news of what God has done for us to as many people as we can possibly spread the news to. When the light of the truth about Jesus illuminates us, it is our duty, fellow brothers and sisters, to shine that light to help other people, be a beacon of light for other people. Our witness for Christ should be public, not hidden. What good will it do someone if our witness, our testimony, is hidden from all to see? We should not keep those benefits for ourselves alone, but pass them on to others. Let our mess be a message, a blessing to someone else. In order to be helpful, we need to be well-placed, wouldn't you agree? We need to seek opportunities to be there for people when they need us. Luke 8:16 says, "No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under the bed. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house." So, brothers and sisters, let your light shine. Speak the truth. The tongue is probably the most powerful organ of the body. It can lift us up or tear us down in the matter of time that it takes us to just say a few sentences. That is how quick and easy it is to bring forth strife or joy. We can only receive the truth if we spend time meditating in God's Word. I know I've said that so much in today's message, but it is so true. I want to get that through your head, folks. We have to spend time meditating in God's Word, and we have to write the truth on our heart. We can't take someone else's word for it, for they may be wrong or misguided. They may not intentionally do this to you, but it can happen all the same. It's very important to build truth into our life. Truth is that basic foundation. And anything else is a falsehood, a misrepresentation of the truth. Truth is a strong character quality. Truth is a protection, and truth can be left as a legacy for our children and our grandchildren. And without the truth, life becomes distorted, and wrong thinking can happen. When this happens, a person is so easily misguided and led astray. So quickly we lose our anchor, lose sight of the light. I adopted the scripture verse for my own life at the beginning of this year. And this verse has been a lifeline for me during some of the tough times that I have been faced with in my own life. I hope this verse will help someone else who is listening today. I know I have already shared this verse with you, but I'm going to break it down a little bit, and I want to share it again. I want to share what this verse means to me. In Isaiah 43:19, it reads like this. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you the streams of water there. This verse is so comforting, so reassuring for me each and every time I read it. Let me break it down for you why it helps me. Watch for this new thing I am going to do. God promises me that He is with me. He is working in my life, and He's planning something new. And it's an ongoing thing. I won't always be where I am right now. It is happening already. He is continuing to work in my life. No matter where I am in my life right now, no matter what circumstances that I am faced with right now, He is working on getting me through it and pressing forward. You can see it now. Look back for a moment. Praise God, I am not where I used to be. I am not where I want to be, but I am way better off than I used to be. I can see God working in my life each day to better my life. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there. God says He's going to clear a path before me. He is going to clear a path before me, folks. And at the end, there will be a stream of water to refresh me. God's got this, folks. He's got this. He's got my life. He's got your life. He's got every situation. Meaning, He has my life in His palm. He has your life in His palm. He is holding my hand, my right hand, every step of the way. Every step of the way. What do I have to be worried or stressed over, knowing that God is doing the hard part for me? He's taking care of me. He's paving the way ahead of me for the place that He has prepared for me. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that almost beyond our comprehension? Oh my gosh. Today's message, God's truth. How can it not change your life in such a profound way for those who know Him? I'm speechless. Praise God. God loves us for who we are. Many voices will vie for control over our mind, especially when we sit in silence. We must learn to discern what His voice is and what is not His voice. Ask God for help with that discernment. Do not fall into the trap of running around in circles trying to obey the various other voices inside your head. It will only lead you into frustration and a fragmented pattern for living. It is said in the Bible, "My sheep know my voice and follow wherever I lead." Brothers and sisters, I know this isn't an easy thing to do, but we have to try. Try to refuse to worry. In this world, there will always be something enticing you to worry. That's just the natural thing of the fallen and fractured world that we live in today. Things are not always as they seem. And so the temptation to be anxious is constantly with us, trying to worm its way into our mind. And the best defense against this is to keep in constant communication with the Lord and give thanksgiving. Have an awareness of His presence that fills your mind with His light and peace. This leaves no room for fear to abide in your mind. This awareness will lift you up above your circumstances, enabling you to see the problems from His perspective. It'll, together, we and God can kind of leave the wolves at bay, so to speak. And we can even try to make friends with our problems. But that's another day, another message. Spend time in His presence. I cannot say that enough. In John 8:32, it says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's been a great message here on the Hope Show today. And I want to thank all of you for being here. I hope all of you have enjoyed today's message and that you have gotten something that you can take away from today's message that you can apply to your own lives. It's about time for me to wrap up today's show, and so I just want to say that I hope all of you have been blessed by this message, and I want each and every one of you to have an amazing week. Until next Saturday, same time, same place, God bless each and every one of you, and know that I love you with all of my heart. Thanks for staying tuned in to today's show.
without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. My soul will rest in you.